Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. Well, we are going to continue on in the teaching I've been sharing on spiritual gifts, why they were given, and God's purpose, and also how can we move in the gifts? How can we exercise them? And as I was sharing one particular caution, and perhaps you may have experienced it, and this has caused many in leadership to back away from the gifts because there are those who have moved in ignorance and in immaturity, and they've had little fruit, yet because they are gifts, you know, we don't operate themselves. The Holy Spirit gives liberally. What does the word say? The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. I'm going to share, we're going to be reading some verses now out of chapter 11, but I just wanted to emphasize that we don't have to reach a place of spiritual perfection before God uses us, because we have a very clear example in 1 Corinthians, that 12th chapter, Paul is talking, as we go open the reading of that book, we see in the 3rd through the 5th chapter, there were all kinds of things going on, sexual sin, strife, carnality, abuse of the Lord's Supper, and obviously, they were not terribly spiritual, yet they were very open and freely gifted as far as the spiritual gifts. And so the problem wasn't with the gifts, it was with the people. And also you might say, well, you've got people that are not acting according to wisdom. And then on the other hand, you may have someone who's a beautiful Christian. They don't have or rarely have any kind of super manifestations shining through their life. They may have the very love and grace of God in their hearts, and they're one of the sweetest people you'd ever want to meet. So is there a balance? Where do we go? Well, the answer doesn't lie in condemning the unspiritual for using spiritual gifts or in pointing to beautiful Christians as evidence that we don't need to be concerned with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm not saying that. This is because what's in the Word. Paul says, I don't want you ignorant. So, beloved, we need to take a little look at what is God wanting for us in this hour in our own personal lives. Now, let's take a little look at chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. He begins by saying, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. He says that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every pastor. Are you listening closely? Dividing to every man severally as he wills. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. And I'm skipping some verses down to 18. Paul says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And he goes on to say how important every single member is to the body. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. He goes on in 24 to say, "For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism," or no division, if you will, in the body, "but that the members should have the same care one for another." There you see the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, operating, caring for one another. "For whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are members of the body," of Christ, "and members in particular." And then he goes on to talk about specific leadership God has raised up. "And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, the gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues." He's speaking now of not the prayer language, but the actual gift of tongues in the congregation. "Do all interpret." And he says, "Covet earnestly the best gifts. Yet I show unto you a more excellent way." And he speaks about love. And then he goes on, he picks right up again in teaching. He says, "Follow after charity," chapter 14, verse 1. "And desire," you see, together, it's not one or the other, it's not either or. "Follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy." Why? "Because he that prophesieth," verse 3, "speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort." That's the purpose of prophecy, never to criticize or condemn or judge. That's not the purpose. God's given it to uplift and encourage as well as exhort. So, what do we do? As I say, we don't, the balance lies in not condemning unspiritual people for using spiritual gifts, which bring a reproach to the name of Christ, or also don't point to beautiful Christians and say, you know, that's evidence they don't have any gifts moving, that, you know, we have to say, well, you know, then obviously we don't have to have them in operation. Let's do what the Word says. A far balanced approach would be for us to teach people that they are more effective in spiritual gifts when they have the fruit to back it up, and to teach fruitful believers that God wants to demonstrate himself in our world through the unique qualities that make him God. The Bible is not suggesting that we make a choice between the two. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, "Follow after charity," that's agape love, "all the fruit of the Spirit, and desire spiritual gifts." So, how can we just summarize this? In chapter 13, we see the Holy Spirit outlining his spiritual gifts and their use. In chapter 13, the Holy Spirit tells us about the importance of the fruit of the Spirit, emphasizing love. And in chapter 14, the Holy Spirit tells us to put them both together. The normal Spirit-filled life includes both. The gifts of the Spirit work so harmoniously in a life filled with the Spirit of the fruit of the Spirit that it's only in retrospect that we're conscious that God actually used us to demonstrate his qualities and gifts in a particular given situation. When supernatural living happens so naturally in us, then God will indeed be glorified. All right, so I've been sharing about two cautions, and I've taken a lot of time, but I wanted to emphasize the importance of the fruit of the Spirit. And the second caution I want to give you is that the Word always has preeminence over the gifts. What does Paul say in chapter 13? He says, prophecy may fail. You know, love endures, but it's the Word of God. We have the Bible as God's Word to us. How does the Holy Spirit teach us? The Holy Spirit always, always, always teaches us from the Word of God. Why? Because he gave it. He inspired it. He never teaches apart from it. Any truth that is illuminated to our hearts, it might seem as a revelation to us, but it's already in the Word of God. If we look for it, it's there. So if we look to spiritual gifts, and this is a problem that happens many times with those who are moving in full gospel circles, if we look to spiritual gifts instead of the Word, we open ourselves up to spiritual danger. For example, I think years ago, people used to come into the service and Brother Glass used to say, you know, you just came here because you want a word from the Lord. He was very anointed in the gifts of the Spirit and especially fluent in the prophecy. I mean, he was so anointed. And he says, and that, because that's your attitude, you're not going to get it. He's saying, you know, the Lord wants you to listen to the word, to love the word. And then, you know, he would always be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And even after he went home, as we continued on in team ministry for 10 years at the Oakland Airport Hilton, we ministered in that same way. We let the Holy Spirit have his way. And you know what? The gifts don't operate as you will. The gifts operate as the Holy Spirit wills. I've had people say, do you have a word for me? Beloved, don't ever ask anyone that moves prophetically. Don't ask them that because it's just your fleshly desire. Beloved, you don't want a word from me. No, you'd much rather have a word from the Holy Spirit. And we don't operate the gifts. I mean, we can pray and seek God and ask, but it's a switch you turn on and off. And there are those who love prophecy and they expect, you know, someone's who prophetic, just turn on a switch and give me a word. That does not work that way. That's actually rude and it's actually an affront to the Holy Spirit. So we need to be humble in heart and we may ask God, minister to us, Lord, I need encouragement, but we must allow the Lord in his time and in his way to minister to us. If we look to spiritual gifts, as I said, instead of the word, we're opening ourselves up to serious danger. People tend to be more fascinated with a personal prophecy than with the black and white print of God's word. Paul tells us clearly, prophecies will fail. They may fail, but the word of God is always accurate. It's always right in its instruction for every situation in our lives. The two should work together. The use of spiritual gifts should be closely regulated by the word. Spiritual gifts only happen from time to time, as the Spirit wills, but the word of God is our standard every moment of the day and is readily available to us. Praise God. So the gifts of the Spirit are God's property, beloved. They operate through us, but they are still his gifts. Well, I've so enjoyed ministering to you this week, and we're just at the beginning. I've just been laying a foundation. Next week, we'll look at the overview of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I invite you to tune in, but if you have prayer needs, if you would like some personal ministry, I invite you to write, note down that contact information, send an email, write me a letter, and I'll respond back to you with what God gives to bless you. Praise the Lord. So until next week, I love you. Thank you so much for your prayers and financial support. Until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.